The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Next guest is one of many Irish farmers who's made a life and a home for himself away from this country. Jonathan Cliburn has been living in Ukraine with his wife and three sons for the past 15 years. However, since the invasion by Russian forces into that country, the one he now calls home, he's witnessed some unimaginable scenes, and he's on the line now. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I think people will be intrigued, first of all, of how you decided to go farming in Ukraine.
So when I finished college back in 2004, I was looking to go somewhere a little bit different to get some practical experience on the farming side. And that ended up taking me out to Western Ukraine, where I was effectively a harvest student for my first job there.
And you decided this was an opportunity, and you've remained there for 15 years. Now, how was the business of farming in Ukraine? I mean, we're told it is one of the great world food producers, be it sunflowers or grains. Tell us, how was business for you?
Yeah, so I worked for some of the larger agri-holdings the first half of my career, and then in 2014, we decided that the time was right to start our own company. And, in Ukraine, you can put together large tracts of land and farm relatively intensively at scale. So, there was a huge opportunity there to start a farm, and a lot easier to do so than it would be in Ireland.
And a ready market for what you were going to produce. So did you anticipate in any way, were you and your fellow farmers talking about the possibility that Russia might just invade?
So when we started our company, it was 2014, and that was the first invasion, if you like, when they took Crimea and Donbass. But that war never spread really outside of those areas. Whereas on the 24th of February this time around, there was a large build-up and a lot of build-up in the media. And I, like many Ukrainians, kind of shrugged it off, to be honest. It wasn't the first time there was 200,000 Russians on the border. But that obviously all changed on the morning of the 24th.
Now, you were actually at home in Ireland, if that's the right word for it now, because you've been so long in Ukraine, that may well be home. But you were here, and you decided that you had to go back. What was the situation in trying to get back in, and what did you find when you got there?
Yeah, that's correct. So it was a roller coaster of emotions, the kind of disbelief followed by the, the anger, really, at what was happening there. And after about a week, we decided that I would have to go back, and the farm still had to keep running. And we felt it was better to keep ourselves and our staff active and doing something rather than spiraling and thinking of nothing but the war. So
Now,
had to carry on.
What was the situation with your own crops? Because were you still holding some of last year's crops in your barns? Had they been sold? Did you, intend to sow new crops for this year's harvest?
So we run about 10,000 acres, and 50% of it would be in soybeans, which are planted in the spring. And then the rest is made up of predominantly maize and wheat, winter wheat. So we only had winter wheat in the ground, and we would generally start nitrogen applications on that in end of February, start of March. But in terms of stocks, we had all of last year's harvest, the corn, in third-party elevators. They were, we generally hold that over the winter and look for a price uptake, and we would sell in March. But then March came along and nobody was buying because the ships can't get into the port.
So we've got these elevators which are full of last year's crops, and of course there will be another harvest this year, one hopes. Where will that go? Because without access to shipping, how is the harvest to be distributed to the world?
So right now it's mostly just corn stuck in those elevators because that's the last crop to be harvested in Ukraine. Generally, the harvest campaign starts with winter barley, followed by oilseed rape, then wheat, and then it moves on to the later sown crops like sunflower, soybeans, and finally corn. So in those elevators at the port or the inland elevators, it's mostly just corn left. And we're in a position now where we can't sell it because the traders, they can't get it out of the country or not very easily. So we're having to take that out of the elevator and bring it back to our own storage, which isn't exactly designed for long-term storage of grain. But it is moving west very, very slowly by rail into Poland, Hungary, Romania, and trying to find a port that way.
But much slower than it would if it could leave in large shipments, which are not possible by train. How is the farm working at the moment? Who's on the farm? Because obviously young men would be conscripted to fight in the army. How is it keeping going?
We have about 30 staff. Half of them would be kind of directly in production. And just because Ukraine is quite bureaucratic, the other half are involved in administration. So because of our cropping program, our farm has a trough in the workload in July. And so our first harvest will be in August, and all our spraying and fertilizing and seeding has been completed as of about a week ago. So we took the decision to change our cropping rotation slightly. So we plant less corn. Corn is a very intensive crop for drying, so that needs a lot of gas, and we still don't understand the availability of gas and what price it's going to be. And we tried to grow more crops like buckwheat, which would be a staple in Ukraine and in high demand, and try and steer a little bit more away from the export crops like soybeans and corn.
Now, what kind of contact with the war did you have when you were back there? I mean, did you see the refugees? Were you aware of a Russian presence in the country?
Yeah, going back to your question on that, so we had an exemption. The agricultural industry had an exemption on the draft at the start of the war, but the law has since changed, where to keep tractor drivers and agronomists in employment, they had a special permission not to be drafted. But we have friends and family that are located maybe an hour west of Mariupol. So we got most of them out, and they've made their way to our family home in Lviv in western Ukraine, or further afield into Poland. So it has brought it home on that side of things.
Yeah. I mean, the behavior of the Russian army, now maybe all armies at war misbehave to some extent, but the Russians seem to be, some of them, raw recruits, not bewildered by where they are, but others seem to be the lowest of the low.
So we have several people staying with us, and we have first-hand accounts of what's happening over there, and it's truly deplorable, the things they're doing and the way they do it. It's hard to sleep after hearing such stories.
I presume that you hope to return to some sort of normality, but maybe not soon, the way this war is being pursued by Vladimir Putin?
Again, we took the approach, our farm is there, our machinery is there, we can't take it out of the country, so we're going to carry on and think more long term. We're very grateful that we're not in the hot zones where it was in the north, east and south of the country. And while we are, you know, some infrastructure near us is getting hit with long-range missiles and things like that, we are very fortunate we are so far away, physically so far away from it. But, some analysts say this could drag on for another 8 years. We'll carry on, and we try and reorientate ourselves to get our crop and things out into Europe and not be so reliant on the ports opening anytime soon.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us. Jonathan Cliburn, an Irishman farming in Ukraine.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.